This is Whitney.
And this is Hysterical Women,
the podcast that no one asked for about our thoughts about gender in our society.
Each week, we're going to dissect events, macro
and micro, to determine if we think this week was a win
or a loss for feminism.
I was just eating cheddar popcorn.
Oh, yummy.
Yeah.
Smart.
Oh, yeah. Smart food.
I used to eat cheddar popcorn with my friend Eliza in middle school like it was the last popcorn on earth, and if we didn't put it all in our face in like under 45 minutes, like it was gonna be gone. It was so animalistic and amazing.
That's kind of how I feel about most food most of the time. I don't know what that says about me, but I just feel like I'm always like, I don't know. One time, something that's really stuck with me is that my friend Joey Contreras, you know, our famous friend Joey Contreras was like, one thing I love about you is how surprising it is that you eat like an animal or like a 13-year-old boy.
Actually, I do love that about you too.
Thank you.
I mean, it's the only way to live, really, especially in these trying times, which actually kind of goes into my first question.
Okay, let's hear it.
Isn't that seamless?
That was beautiful transition. Did you plan that?
Yeah. I incepted all of this into your brain. I'm wondering, it's a time of quarantine. What are you doing for snacks? And I don't mean like snacks and treats, and I don't mean snacks and treats necessarily literally. I do mean literally, but I also mean like metaphorically, spiritually. Like, what are the treats and snacks getting us through?
Okay, I'd like to hear your answer first.
Okay, so I'm currently at John's parents' house, and his mother is Irish. So cute, amazing accent. So not only is her accent getting me through, but like just every day at like 11, and then every day at 3, we have tea.
Whoa.
We just have tea, and then like probably a little biscuit, and it's so nice. And it just, I don't know, it really breaks up the day. Plus we have lunch and breakfast and dinner. So it's like, you know, it's two more opportunities to be distracted from life and just have a little cup. And it reminded me of how my grandmother every day at 5 used to bring out orange cheddar cheese and crackers for like, no, don't make that face. It was amazing.
Wait, orange? Okay. The way that I heard that was orange cheddar cheese and orange cheddar crackers. So like cheese with Cheez-Its. And I was like, that seems like too much, but cheddar and crackers sounds amazing. Yeah.
It's just something to live by. Anyway, I just feel like in this time, we should all be like making up new random traditions to just kind of surprise and like structure our days. Another treat I was giving myself was just, yeah, watching all of Grey's Anatomy and allowing myself to really relive it, even though I've definitely watched all the seasons many times before.
That's beautiful. I'm glad you're treating yourself in those ways.
Oh, I know. Big and small.
Yeah. My snacks, my food snacks have been those like little snack packs that are like the cheese with the nuts and the raisins. It's kind of like
from Starbucks.
It's a similar vibe, but it's like Sargento's. And it's like where, I mean, you famously on the record have said how much you hate cheese sticks, but it's by the cheese stick aisle in the grocery store. And it's just these little packets that have like some trail mix and some cheese. And it's amazing. And it's like, yeah,
we will picnic
ourselves and save a lot of money, but it just feels like a treat to just open it and eat it.
Yeah, it's kind of harkens back to when moms would pack little lunches, but instead of it's your mom, it's a giant corporation.
Yeah, which actually I think is one of my love languages, is like when someone takes care of me by feeding me, probably just because like my mom always did such a good job of that, but now that's like all that I want is just for someone to feed me, which ends up being like a large corporation feeding me most of the time.
Can we remind listeners what your mom would make you every single day?
Yeah, she made me chocolate chip pancakes. It was incredible. Like, it might be why I potentially will have diabetes one day, but also it's incredible. And anytime I go home, she always offers. And a lot of the time I take her up on it. So shout out to Rhonda.
Rhonda.
My question is, do you want to open a gift that I bought you on virtually? So I open it, but you watch?
Yes! Big time, yes.
Okay, hold on. I have to rewrap it. So sidebar is that I wrapped it in a box that Leo's medication came in, and somehow he always knows that it's, like, shout out to Chewy and shout out to Leo. But he, like, knows that it's his, and so he doesn't get excited about every package, but he somehow knows that these ones are for him. So then when I rewrapped it, he thought it was, like, a new package for him. Okay, are you ready?
Why do I deserve a present?
Why do you have a present?
Yeah, I don't really know. Like, I'm thankful, but I don't really know why.
Because when I am stressed, I panic buy.
Okay.
Like, I love, not that I don't want to give you something, but it's also because I just like buying things when I'm stressed.
It's like a win-win for me and you.
Exactly. For you, for me, for my bank account. Okay, are you ready? I hope you like it. Do you have any guesses for what you think it is?
A pasta.
You'll think it's something cooler than it is, probably.
Okay, I won't. Yes! That's the best gift. It's this large, oversized gray sweatshirt that Whitney bought. Maybe our best trip to Walmart. Definitely my best trip to Walmart.
Definitely our only trip to Walmart together.
Best and only.
But Nora and I took a trip to Walmart when we were in Bentonville, Arkansas, aka the HQ of Walmart. And I have this problem where every time I travel, I think it's going to be warmer than it is, and I don't pack enough warm clothing. So I bought this like $4 sweatshirt, and it turned out to be an incredible investment. And then John wanted it, so I let him have it. So then I was like, well, I'm just going to go buy another one for me and also for Nora.
We're going to look like a family finally.
Finally. So you can expect that in 8 to 12 weeks. Okay. Do you want to start?
Sure. Yeah. So despite having literally the most time ever, I've definitely done the worst job researching for this podcast.
I also just want to caveat that I've been taking some breaks from the news for the most part, and like I'm getting text updates, so I'm like feel informed, but have just not been on the news. But even today when I tried to get on, like there's nothing that's not about like COVID-19. So all of the things that I'm talking about are things that I've learned from social media apps and Netflix. So it's going really well.
Yeah, and I've like kind of been staying abreast of the news, but like it's also so overwhelming to me, and also I feel like I immediately forget it all because like a mechanism in my brain is like you can't cope. So you know what, it's loose, it's kind of more brush strokes. If you want news, you can turn to literally anything else.
That's not what we're here for.
We're not journalists. Let's say it one more time. We're not journalists. We're not doctors. But an incredible segue again. Mine is about the pursuit of birth control in the time of COVID-19.
Oh, I love it.
So yeah. This is part global, part personal, you know, macro, micro, in and out, Zim Zoom, and we're on Zoom. We should get a Zoom sponsorship. Everyone wants a Zoom sponsorship. It's too much. Okay. So personally, I just recently turned 26. Well, not that recently, but recently enough that I didn't get my act together to get a new gynecologist because of my new healthcare. Because of course I was still on my parents. I love you, Chip and Mary. Thank you for keeping me on as long as I could. But then I was alone in the world, a true adult, and I made an appointment for the end of March, because I was like, that's perfect. Well, no, it's hard because the pandemic, epicenter, New York City. And so I get a call from them being like, hi, the gynecologist you're supposed to be meeting with is not going to be in. And I was like, on this day, but she can come in a different day. And I was like, okay. I was like, to be honest, like, I don't really want to come in. She shouldn't have to come in. Like, this is not the number one thing that I think that we should be doing, social distancing and all. But I do need a prescription. So I was like, you know what? Like, true, this is not how it usually goes, but like, we're kind of in apocalyptic times. Like, let's be flexible. New rules, we're all working. And she was like, well, no. I was like, 666, and I would just have to have walked into Manhattan. It just would have been a mess. And so I found this thing called Pill Club. And I think there's actually a lot of kind of businesses like this that you can put in all your information about the birth control that you need and want, and they will ship it to you. And I don't, you know what? I don't really know what the who the doctors are, but they're truly helping me. I love them so much. And then I was able to call my friend who's going to become a doctor and ask her if the new prescription that they were going to give me was going to be good. And she was able to answer. So I think that those two are examples of women helping women. And no offense, but that gynecologist was not helping me, or at least the receptionist hated me.
I would say that a gynecologist's job is to help women. It sounds like they were failing at that.
Yeah, like maybe they were scared of the repercussions legally of giving prescriptions over the phone, but I'm also just like,
times is hard, you know?
Times is hard.
Times is hard. Times is hard. You know that show?
Deep. What's that from?
It's from the Stephen Sondheim Sweeney Todd.
No.
No. Well.
I just know pies, pies, pies. We can like have pies, and they like mush up people's. And what is mincemeat?
To be determined.
I feel like it's actually not meat, which is crazy.
That is crazy.
I think it's candied fruit.
Oh.
Do you want me to keep going about mincemeat?
That's the question that I've been dying to know. You know what's been crazy about COVID-19 is that I feel like I do a good amount of like censoring my stories that I'm telling specifically to John. And part of it's like a creative exercise and like, how can I tell this story the most succinctly and like use the engaging parts that like the audience will be interested in. But like now that we're in this COVID-19 quarantine and I just have an indefinite amount of time, it's like, why don't I just tell him all the points, even the boring points of the story? And so I've just been sharing with him things that are not interesting at all.
Would you say that my story I just told was interesting or not interesting? Because I feel like that was your train of thought.
I was saying it was interesting to me in this moment. And that's where my comment ends.
Okay, so now I'm going to keep going. Thank you so much for giving me the room and the support to share. But
yeah, looking I'm so sorry. I thought that was the end of your story. I didn't mean to cut you off.
I need to go global.
Oh, I thought that was global.
No, the global is...
I'm doing amazing. I'm sorry. Okay.
No, I think Pill Club is a win for feminism. But I think a loss is that in this time of like non-essential versus essential conversation of what is legally open in America right now, the like Planned Parenthood abortion issue is a lose for feminism because like Texas and Ohio and is kind of using this space and this language to shut down abortion clinics, which is bad in my opinion.
It's crazy because it's not like pregnancy is like has a time, like it's not time sensitive or anything.
It's not like we're cooking an egg.
Is it only those two states
that I found in my research?
Very sense of journalistic research.
Integrity. Yeah, no, this lady, the Abortion National Federation, Catherine Hancock Ragsdale, said that abortion is time sensitive and essential healthcare. And I think she's right. And that women deserve better than a craven exploitation of a healthcare crisis in furtherance of an anti-abortion agenda. Yeah. And I'm just like, lawmakers are totally utilizing them being like the idea that it's like only essential stuff and being able to be like, well, our agenda has always been to make abortion illegal. So let's just use this time. And it feels very Handmaid's Tale.
Hmm. Dang it.
So, but I think that some Planned Parenthoods are able to stay open by like shutting like hours or changing and making it, you know, like under the mandated law of what is acceptable. So keep fighting, folks.
Folks. So that's a bummer.
But maybe they'll persevere because they are scrappy as hell. Yes.
They always do persevere.
Nevertheless. Yeah, so that's my stuff. That was my incredible storytelling. What about you?
Wait, is that all of your things?
I have one more from a fan, but I need to stop talking for a second.
First off, you never need to stop talking ever, not one single time. Okay, I have some really essential things to talk about. None of that. They are all kind of a stretch. Well, actually, one of them is not. So, as I mentioned, I've been consuming things other than the news. And one of the things that I started doing this week was TikTok. And I feel like TikTok is kind of a beautiful place where people pretend like everything's fine. And that's the energy that I need sometimes. And so, yes, I have been doing some of the TikTok dances. And am I embarrassed? Not really. No one's watching. But I found this one girl, but she is diagnosed with autism, and she's kind of made it her like platform to talk about, she's using TikTok as her platform to talk about autism. And basically what I have learned from her is that autism has only really been studied in boys and not girls. And the symptoms show up in boys completely differently than they do in girls. And so a lot of, like, most boys are diagnosed by the time they're like 2. And most girls are not diagnosed until later in life, if at all. And it was super interesting because, like, one of the things she was talking about was that the spectrum of autism is not a spectrum of, like, a linear spectrum from, like, functioning to not functioning. And she actually talks about how that term is, like, a very offensive term, because she's like, that's like saying that my problems aren't affecting you just because you can't tell that I have them. And one of the things that, like, most people think of when they think of autism is, like, not being super social, not making eye contact, and being, like, really good at math. And so, but those are the three, like, most common signs in boys. But when a girl has autism, one of the most common traits is called masking. And it's basically when they pick up every single mannerism that people do and copy it. And so, like, this girl, she's, I think she's like 19 or 20 now. She's gorgeous. She's like this gorgeous blonde girl. Her makeup always looks incredible. Like, you would, like, when you watch a bunch of her videos, you forget that you're watching someone who has autism because she seems like a very social, like, very normal, like, I don't know. You just would never know. But she was just talking about how, like, it's still really hard and it's, like, really exhausting because that's this, like, mask. It's this thing she does called masking where she's just trying to appear normal. And she gets so acute into the way, like laser focused into the way that people react and, like, interact with each other. And then she copies that. And that's why she appears so, like, I guess, normal.
Or, like, neurotypical.
I don't know what that means, but sure. But yeah, it was interesting. And, like, how a lot of the spectrum is actually more like a circle, and there's, like, all of these different behavioral signs that people could have. And so she was saying, like, boys, maybe it's that they don't look at people. And where for her, it's like she never breaks eye contact with someone, almost in a way that's, like, really intense. And a lot of, like, boys will go into, like, the math and science fields, and a lot of girls are, like, really creative and have jobs in arts. And so anyway, I just thought it was interesting, but she was just saying that she was diagnosed when she was 15, and once she was diagnosed, she was able to, like, get the proper, like, help she needed at school and things like that. But just how rare it is for girls to be diagnosed because they haven't done any studies on them. So I thought that was super interesting, and I liked learning about her. So her name is Paige Lale, L-A-Y-L-E, and she's a 19-year-old eyelash technician from Canada. And yeah, I think she's just using her platform to spread awareness, which I think is really cool. But hopefully that also will, I feel like anytime there's awareness, then that's, like, often one of the first steps to getting more funding to do more research so that more people can get, you know, diagnosed at a younger age and then get the help they need, like, in schools and the support in other ways as well. So
it's so interesting because, I don't know, the content around, like, male versus female, and that's very much, like, being, like, there are two genders, which, of course, that's not how we feel. But, like, when science is very, like, dichotomous, which is a problem that it has. But they've been looking at, like, the male brain versus the female brain, which is antiquated in a way, but they do talk about how and we see this in society, that it's like men are often the ones who are like in the scientific field, and like it's changing because like women in STEM, but that it's interesting that the trends that they see is that men with autism are so like hyper focused in math, and that like it's all very insular, while we see in like quote unquote female brains the like ability for empathy and like social connections, and how women are like the, you know, again antiquated, but like the homemakers, like the center of a family, yada yada. But that in women with autistic brains, that it's like this intense ability, like you were saying, to like take, to be so aware of other people's, what they're putting out, which feels like an extension of empathy and like awareness.
Yeah, no, I think it makes sense. And I think it's like, obviously, you know, with science, when you can't study every, to start out, it's like, it makes more sense to study the more binary, like genders, but to see that maybe autism is kind of like a exaggerated version of these traits that like already seem patterned in those genders.
Maybe I'll check out TikTok just for her. Just yeah. Kidding. And, you know.
And for my embarrassing videos. It's great. We're thriving.
One of our friend fans sent in an article about this. So this was from March 9th. So kind of before at least the social distancing in America happened. And I think before the huge kind of ban on mass gatherings in Mexico happened. But it was it's about these Mexican women striking in a protest for femicide, which is like violence against women, which seems to be kind of escalating year to year. There was like 1,006 cases in 2019. The strike was like a protest assembly of women, but it was also like them not going to work and people noticing like just how central women are in the world, like making things happen. But this director of like a closed branch of a bank that day was like, without us, all of this collapses. And yeah, so it was just kind of this beautiful act of solidarity between women in Mexico, and just like, I think a strong enough protest to hopefully that the government will take notice. And a quote was like, every day we have more evidence that they're killing us specifically for being women. If this government wants a transformation of this country, they have to face the problem. And I think that just to see people like organize for a specific movement, specifically all women, I think is so powerful. And so I hope the numbers are changing and they can reduce femicide, which seems like it's a very social problem and kind of ingrained in the politics and society there, and also in many countries.
That's great.
The cause for the strike is a bummer, but the act of strike and protest, I think, is a positive thing.
I think you're right. We're really looking at the bright side of things here today.
We need to.
We have to. Okay, I have two Netflix binges that I've been watching that I want to talk about, both of them. The first one I want to talk about is Gwyneth Paltrow's Goop Lab. And
Are you watching it?
Yeah. And I kind of decided that I want to spend a day doing what Gwyneth Paltrow says and then reviewing it. And so far I've only done one of them because that's the only one you can really do by yourself in social distancing. But yeah, I feel like my understanding of Goop has just, like, before I knew anything about it, I've listened to like a couple podcasts when they had like Joe Dispenza or things like that. But for the most part, I think of it as something that's just like, and then you look hot, and it's like you do all these things so that then you look beautiful. And so I wonder if this is kind of this series is kind of like a PR thing to be like, that's not what we're doing, or if it's just like I just didn't understand it all along, because it really is talking more about like the optimization of the body and like how you can like prolong your life or have more energy or whatever. And so the first one that I watched was this one that talks about like breathing exercises to reduce stress. And it's this guy who you do these breathing exercises and you like warm up your body, and then you're supposed to jump in a hot, or I'm sorry, into a freezing shower. And they do it, so they warm up. So like the first day I don't remember exactly what it is, but they end up doing these warm ups. So they like warm up their whole body and they're breathing and stuff. And then they end up jumping into this like frozen lake. And a lot of the people came out of it and they're like, that really helped with my anxiety. And like, I was able to like breathe through it. And so now when I feel stressed in other ways, I'm able to like breathe through it. And this one lady who has like a panic disorder was like, I haven't had panic attacks since I started doing it. So that was the one that I was like, I should try this. And so I decided to start trying these breathing exercises and then taking a cold shower. And I have to say, it's not as bad as I thought it would be for a person who like historically takes boiling hot showers. But that's kind of a sidebar, but I just think everyone should try it and it's fun. But basically, then there's this other, I feel like the episodes that I've watched have all been like, there's this one about like female pleasure and how like little research there is and how like women need to understand their bodies more and like find more pleasure during sex and things. So I feel like in general, I've been like, wow, this is really cool. Like, again, I either didn't understand what Goop was, or they've like transitioned in this way that's like more about like women's health and like mental and physical and like all over holistic health. And like, as soon as I realized that, then I watched this episode that was like, and now we'll look younger by getting all these face work, this like face procedures done. And I was like, darn it. That was kind of a bummer. And like hearing this like round table of all these women talking about their fear of aging and how they're getting all these procedures done so that they don't look like they've aged was kind of probably more of a reflection than like an endorsement of just like where society sits in regards to aging and women. But I think overall, I like the series. I've enjoyed it. I've been watching it as I just kind of like do other random things around the house. That's all I have to say about that.
I feel like Gwyneth Paltrow has for sure in her like Goop pursuits and like her cookbook, maybe that is Goop too. It's a brand, but I think it's like, it's definitely become parodied because in a lot of ways it feels like kind of totally inaccessible. And it's like, of course I would like put these crystals up my vagina if I like was Gwyneth Paltrow. But I actually haven't watched the show. I've watched the little trailers, like we did ayahuasca, and it's like, okay, only so many of us are gonna like be able to go to Bali and do, but I'm happy there are some accessible episodes, I guess. I think it's probably equal parts rebranding and equal parts reaching across the table to America. And that's beautiful.
It's so beautiful.
Just be about oobleck. You know what I mean? Like, that's what the show should be about.
What's oobleck?
Yeah, like goo. Do you think goop should be like oobleck? Oh, you're going to have fun. It's cornstarch and water and a little bit of food coloring. It's for children.
Oh, I think I've played with that. I just didn't call it that.
So I learned from Gwyneth Paltrow, but the second thing that I've learned from Netflix that I'd like to discuss today is Tiger King.
Oh my gosh. What
a delight. Are you watching?
Yeah. Yeah.
Sorry, big I was kind of hoping you had it, but yeah.
Sorry.
Yeah. No, it's okay. It's okay.
We
it's
love fine. Big cats.
We love, they're so cute. Okay. But here's the thing. Probably if you haven't, okay. If you haven't heard of this, it's a docuseries on Netflix. It's like, what, 8 parts maybe?
Mm-hmm.
About these people in America who have like a big cat farms or big cat zoos or rescues or whatever sanctuaries. They all have different names for it.
Whatever they want to call these. They all have like 227 huge cats and they're like, this one's a sanctuary. Well, this one's a rescue. Well, this one's Easy Street. And you're like, what in the heck?
Easy Street. Okay, but also part of my soapbox is defending Carol Baskin to the death. I haven't finished the series, but okay, here's the thing. Here's the thing. If you want to watch it and not get spoilers, then probably turn this off. But I've only actually seen the first like 3 or 4 episodes, so I don't have all the spoilers. But okay. So they, I started watching, and like, I'm just empathetic to Carol Baskin, and she's the only woman who, has one of these sanctuaries. And okay, here's why John also is a hater. I think that hers is better because for one, she only has 12 cats. She doesn't breed them. She doesn't sell them. And it's a nonprofit, so she's not profiting off of them. And then they also don't play with the tigers and the cat, like they don't, like they're all just in their own enclosed spaces. And like, yeah, she doesn't pay the volunteers who work there, but that's because she's giving them an opportunity.
You gotta just keep watching Bubby because
I also don't think that she killed her husband.
But what about the whole past when they were like, all they were doing was breeding cats?
Yeah, that was before it was illegal, though.
And they had like 700 bobcats for no reason.
Okay, not for no reason, because they were rescuing them. And then she realized it was wrong, and now it's illegal. And so then she changed her ways. And she, you know, I respect a woman who's willing to like accept her mistakes and like change. And I love that about her.
I think it's questionable about the husband, but I think her biggest mistake is how much time she spends on YouTube. So I feel like she's digging herself a YouTube grave. And like, okay, but there are some takes where she's talking and she's like, yeah, and then I never saw him again. And I'm just like, are you just like...
But like, it's been like 30 years. I don't know. I think she's the queen and I love her.
What about the shot where she's marrying her new husband and he's in a tiger outfit and she has a collar?
Okay. Yeah. That was weird. Well, see, that's the thing is like, as I was watching this, so there's this other guy who is in Myrtle Beach, shout out, cause that's where I am right now. And
they are all so crazy in
they're
their
all
own
crazy
way.
Yeah. And like, I was like, he's the craziest. And then, and I also kind of love the guy from Oklahoma, even though he like, they tell you in the very first episode that he tried to kill Carol Baskin. So like, you know that he's not a good guy, but like, I kind of am obsessed that he's gay. And like, he just seems like the, like, if I didn't know he was gay, he just reminds me of so many, not that I know so many people, but in Texas that are like that, but I don't know. He just has this very kind of like redneck vibe. And then he like, but then he has two husbands. So like, anyway, as
well, where's the hot one?
No, he's there, but you just don't know. Cause he looks so much older.
No, really?
Yeah. Yeah, really. John and I were, cause John thought the same thing. And then when they showed him, but they don't ever, the pictures of him are all from when he's so much younger. And then all of a sudden he's so tall and his hair is different and he has a beard. So he looks completely different. But anyway, as I'm watching this, I'm like, this is a loss for feminism because the one guy who's here at Myrtle Beach has like seven wives and he keeps taking these apprentices and making them dress hot and just is like the worst. And I was like, this is a problem for feminism. But then the more I watch it, I'm like, this is just a problem for humanity. And like also this like weird micro community that like it could have disappeared off the face of the earth and I would have had no idea. But then learning about it, it just keeps getting weirder and weirder and weirder.
It is so insane. It makes me so bummed out for America. And also, I'm like, is Netflix tricking us of what a documentary is?
Yes, I think so.
Like, this is like, it's like crack TV. It's like literally going down an internet hole. But I feel like documentaries used to be like important and like literary. And now I'm just like, it's for kids, blah.
Which I think it's kind of nice to make them more accessible. And one of my favorite things about this documentary is the filmmaker clearly hates one of the guys, Don, the one who's in Myrtle Beach. And so he just keeps letting him like say the dumbest shit and just leaving it on. And it feels very savage and hilarious. But I agree. It's like, it is kind of like watching a dumpster fire, but I don't really mind in this chaotic.
Like, what else are we supposed to be watching?
Right. Right.
Also, yeah, the editing is so savage. It is like, or when they're like, yeah, and I keep my eye on you. And then it's a cut of just like a panther staring at you. And you're just like, someone had so much fun. Also, we have to talk about Joe Exotic's musical career.
I'm obsessed with Joe Exotic. Like I'm a news reporter and a musician. And I'm just like, he's living all of his wildest dreams, which is kind of inspiring. And he doesn't care how stupid he looks. No. And like when they're like, he has this news report at the height of its career, only 80 people were watching. And I'm just like, but he's just like so unashamed and I love it.
I also love the Ed Harris character who's like runs the reality TV show, and they always come up to him, and he's like in a brimmed hat in a bar, being like, "And I knew." I was like, "And that's good TV."
But then he also keeps throwing him under the bus. I'm just like, it's crazy. Also, I love to think about someone listening to this and not knowing what we're talking about, and being like, "What is happening?" And that's how I feel when I watch it. Like, it feels like watching it is how I think and imagine it would feel to like eat nerds and be super high.
Totally.
You're just like, what's happening?
But I bet if you ate nerds and were super high, you'd be like, oh, I get it. And watched it, you'd be like, oh. Mm-hmm.
This makes perfect sense.
Yeah. John's favorite line is when he's like, put this on my tombstone. It was when someone was like, and you got to remember, there's no escalators in the jungle.
It's so crazy.
So insane.
But it's beautiful. I've also realized that docuseries, this is a blend between reality television and a docuseries for sure.
I feel like it's like documentary journalism and then edited like a reality show.
Yeah, I think that's a really good point. But I found that when I watch like live things like that or Gwyneth Paltrow's, it's like, neither of them I feel any more settled than, like, I feel like right now I'm like watching, like I've been watching a movie pretty much every night, and that's kind of like gives my brain some space from like what I'm like stressing about all day. And I've noticed when I watch these things, it's like I don't feel any more relaxed after, like at all.
No, because it's so scary to think that these people were born from our reality.
I know. And the guy who's in Myrtle Beach, we looked up his website and he's like, we will not be closing due to COVID-19. And I'm just like, of course you won't. And then it kind of makes me like, should I go? But
spend like $700 to go in. Also the people who go, that's crazy.
It's
too
crazy. It really is. I know. And I know. I just kind of have a hard time with, like, I love animals so much, and I probably that love was instilled when I was a child going to a zoo or something. But so it's, yeah, I don't know. We went to Thailand once, and we went to like an elephant sanctuary and then a tiger sanctuary. And the difference between the management was so clear that the elephants were being treated well and the tigers were not, that it just, I don't know. All those just give me really weird feelings. But that is like what helps conservation efforts. So I don't know.
Yeah.
So pretty much a lateral move for feminism.
Yeah. Or like a box like, step back.
Yeah. Like a jazz square back for mankind.
But I mean, hopefully by next week we'll have finished it. Let's have a truce to watch it, finish it by next week, and we can talk about it more. Everyone's like, don't talk about it. We're talking about it on the internet. And guess what? We don't care.
We literally don't care.
So I'd say it's like, what was this week?
And a big loss.
Yeah. But I think we tried to position it as a win because you're trying to like make,
because we need to feel better.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
Do you have an artist you want to highlight?
I wanted to shout out healthcare workers. I think they're freaking awesome. And I saw a video of a couple of them doing an incredible no hand handshake. And I think that's cool. They did like some kicks to a song. It was actually kind of TikTok-y.
Wow. Well, that leads me straight into, my artist that I want to highlight, who's a TikTok artist. She's a 19-year-old songstress named Abigail Barlow. And I found her on TikTok, and I think she's really talented, and I like her music.
I love that.
So you're welcome, Abigail, for highlighting you on this podcast, even though you have however many million.
And also, our artists were everyone who talked to us this week.
Absolutely.
On the podcast, and then I also like people who FaceTime me when I really needed it.
Yeah, shout out to them.
And that little bird that's singing in the background.
Yeah, well, we're not sure what that bird's gender is, but we can highlight them anyway.
But they can be the gender of artist.
You're right. That's a really good point you bring up.
All right.
Well, stay safe, stay woke, stay sane. Yep.
Yeah.
Thanks for listening.
If you listened.
If you like the pod, hit subscribe and leave us a review.
Also, if you have a macro event that you'd like us to cover, slide into our DMs on Instagram @hystericalwomen.